Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Ken Muir, a Global Advisory Board member at LCM Security. Mr. Muir has over 25 years in IT, over 20 years of experience exclusively in information security consulting, professional services, and managed security services. And Mr. Muir, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Yes, thank you too.
And you're more than welcome, and looking forward to hearing from you today per your expertise. So for starters, what is your take on the current situation with cybercrime? Let's start there.
I mean, there's a lot being spoken about and written about cybercrime in today's world, and it's unfortunately a very easy way for these cyber criminals to make money. They're really preying on organizations that really don't have any kind of a strategy or a plan to make sure that their environments are very secure. In a lot of cases, they don't really seem to understand the severity of experiencing a breach that could cause them all kinds of damage. So it's really the fact that these guys are so organized, and yet a lot of the organizations that are being hit and ones that will be hit are just not really equipped in today's world to deal with today's risks.
Yeah, a lot to talk about and to touch on in that regard, and really appreciate your joining us to cover some of the highlights here. Now, let's look at ransomware. Why is ransomware so prevalent today?
So in my experience in the last few years, I've done a lot of, I've been brought into a lot of situations with organizations that have had ransomware affect their organizations. And it seems to be like over and over, it's pretty much the same things that you're looking at when you go in there. A lot of times it's not really a forensics investigation per se, because they usually don't have enough information available for us to be able to do any kind of real, sort of a forensic deep dive. But the one thing that seems to stand out over and over again is the fact that ransomware and the cyber criminals are really preying on the fact that organizations are not really patching their systems on a consistent basis. A lot of times when I go into these organizations, what I'm finding is that some of the ransomware that's in there date back a couple of years. You know, there were patches that were available, particularly with Microsoft, just have not been applied. And this seems to be widespread across the organization. So what you end up seeing is their entire production is down because all of their servers, as well as the workstations, are completely encrypted with the ransomware. And there's really no recovery from that outside of actually paying the ransom. They usually with the backups, the backups are usually not there. Or if they are there, they're also encrypted as well. So in a lot of times, what we find is, and this is actually based on studies as well, is that 20% of organizations are typically hit with ransomware. That's kind of the number right now. But more importantly is 80% of those businesses that are hit are actually reinfected with the same ransomware virus, which usually is a result of the back or the restores from the backups are also encrypted or also contain these ransomware viruses as well. And so they just basically start right up again once this is done.
And that certainly ought to grab the attention of the folks tuning in today on that with that information. Now, looking ahead, what is the future of ransomware? I'm almost afraid to ask that question.
Well, interestingly, depending on your point of view, typically, when you see ransomware, if it's WannaCry or some kind of a BitLocker type of ransomware, these are really the names of the organizations that are actually producing this ransomware. So Riot is a name of ransomware, along with Sodonockaby. There's a whole bunch of different ransomware groups or cyber criminals that are actually creating their own versions of the ransomware. What's happened this year is there is a ransomware group by the name of Maze, and they were a new entrant into the marketplace as such for ransomware. Well, what they've done is they've actually created a cartel that includes now a bunch of different ransomware groups that are now pooling their resources. What this is going to have the effect is that they're going to actually be able to exponentially grow that business for themselves, because typically the way they work is within these organizations is they have their own team of people that can create this ransomware. But in a lot of cases, when they're creating campaigns, they may need to bring in an outside help in order to be able to build these campaigns. And maybe they need some particular code expertise or some other assistance with actually creating these campaigns. But with these, with the joining of these different groups, what they're going to be able to do is to pool their resources and be able to help each other to build their campaigns on a much faster rate and be able to scale their operations in a way that they couldn't before. So just to give you an example, like some of the ransomware groups like Conti, Suncrypt, Lockbit, and Ragnarok joined the cartel this year. So really what you're seeing is the rise of the ransomware cartel. And they really much operate in the same way as a regular cartel that we have learned to understand over the years, and how, you know, that sort of form of organizational help can really help build out their organization. So this is only going to grow exponentially as they've learned to understand that the rewards for doing these things are pretty substantial.
And Ken, taking that even further, what are some of the issues with users being the cause of ransomware propagation?
So in a lot of ways, as you mentioned, I've been in this business for 25 years, and one of the things that I've learned to understand is that organizations spend a lot of time trying to pick the best security technologies that are on the marketplace, which is it's part of the overall practice that they need to be doing. But really, like, the weakest link in this entire thing is the user, the end user, because they're not really trained on being able to identify risks. And as a result of that, this is a reason why you're seeing people not just being hit with ransomware, as an example, but also clicking on links or responding to emails that look like they're coming from legitimate sources and sending money out of the company or paying bills to different organizations that are not actually real and is completely fraudulent. So the end user really needs to be the one that's equipped and trained on a continual basis to understand what these risks look like and to know how to report these risks so they can be taken care of by the appropriate groups within those organizations. So it really comes down to like an overall strategy that seems to be missing with a lot of these organizations. And they're very simple things to do. Security awareness training today is a very inexpensive way to make sure the whole organization's in tune with what the risks are and how to really deal with them.
Certainly some valuable information shared so far and quite informative. Today we're speaking with Mr. Ken Muir, a Global Advisory Board member at LCM Security. He has over 25 years in IT and over 20 years of experience exclusively in information security consulting, professional services, and managed security services. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Muir, how are cyber crimes affecting companies, and what is the impact to these organizations and privacy legislation?
So depending on the region where these organizations are operating, like, there is a requirement for them at very different, various different levels to be able to report cyber crimes, especially if it's affected, data that's very sensitive related to either their employees or the vendors that they work with, different business partners and things like that. Depending on the region these organizations are operating in, the results of that could be anywhere from, minimal maybe penalties up to very severe ones. With the introduction of the GDPR legislation that came out in Europe a couple of years ago, it's been really devastating for a lot of organizations. Just literally alone, the fact that you've been breached and it becomes public knowledge could be really damaging to your reputation. And in a lot of cases, especially small to medium-sized businesses, one of the things I learned over the years was that there are a lot of small businesses that have very big contracts. So these businesses could be 6, 7, 10 people, 5, 12 people, but they could be generating, hundreds of millions of dollars in contract dollars just because of the types of contracts that they have and the partners that they're working with. This type of reputational damage is really can be a final situation for them, because there's no way to really recover from that. And as a result of that, the type of business that they're in, they never would be able to acquire another contract to replace that, because the industry as it is, requiring some kind of way to represent yourself is going to be very, very difficult, because word gets around, it becomes public knowledge, it's newsworthy, and your reputation is completely destroyed at that point. And so one of the statistics that are out there, for instance, is for SMBs in particular, is that 60% of small to medium-sized businesses actually go out of business after suffering a breach, around 6 months after suffering this breach. So really the cost to the organization is pretty devastating, could literally be a career-ending or a business-ending situation for them. And it's literally, again, it's because they just don't have a strategy that they're following in order to make sure that their businesses are secure.
Yeah, no doubt the strategy needs to be in place ahead of time for sure. Now, how has the pandemic impacted companies when it comes to cybersecurity, and anything different there, and what's happening now that wasn't happening before the pandemic? Get us up to date there.
So it's a really interesting question, because there's a lot you can read about the impact to organizations, but there's not a lot of detail around why it's impacting these organizations. And really what it comes down to, again, is that kind of lack of strategy in order to make sure that your operational business can still be operational when people are working at home. And so in order to keep production going and have people get access to the organization's assets, production equipment where they need to be able to perform their duties, what a lot of organizations ended up doing is, instead of having, secure VPNs or the VPN technologies in place that would allow end users to be able to connect securely, what they've ended up doing is opening holes in their firewalls to allow access for their employees, because they work in so many different places and sometimes around the world, to be able to get access to the internal systems on there without any real security. And so the remote desktop protocol, for instance, which is inherent in the Windows operating system, is a feature that allows you to be able to connect to a remote machine and to be able to have a view of that machine the same way as you would do as if you were looking from your laptop or workstation, if you were situated actually at the organization's premises. But in order to be able to get these people operational, this is what's been happening, is just basically opening holes in their firewalls to allow access for these end users. The problem with that is that, these cyber criminals are constantly scanning the internet looking for these types of vulnerabilities, and you can literally find them anywhere. There's sites like Shoban, for instance, that you can go to, and you can just it's literally a catalog of every single available service and port that's open on a firewall for anybody to be able to look at. And worse still, if you go onto the dark web, the dark web marketplaces in there are actually selling your cracked credentials for your RDP ports that are open on these firewalls. So it's literally become one of the most prevalent ways that these cyber criminals and organizations are able to get access to your organizations. Like, these credentials that they've stolen are already available on the marketplace for somebody to go and buy. So literally it's becoming a very, very easy thing. And in fact, 50% of breaches that take place are literally through the use of the RDP connection. And that's a statistic that came out again this year. What the number was previous to that was probably in and around 30%, but 50% of ransomware breaches are actually as a result of these RDP connections. 33% of those are actually based on people clicking on links that they get nefariously through their emails. You would think that the number would have been the other way around, because that's typically what people talk about, is the fact that somebody's clicking on links and then, allowing downloads of malware that then allows these cyber criminals to get access to your systems. But in fact, they're coming in through your firewalls, because these organizations have set things up in such a way that are very, very insecure.
Mr. Muir, a couple more questions before we conclude today. Also, how are cyber criminals so organized, and what can companies do to protect themselves and prevent cyber crimes and save themselves a disaster?
So there's a couple things. These cyber criminals, these organizations have become very corporatized, right? So it's not just a distributed band of people that are sort of clubbing together and pooling their are actually set up the same way as a regular organization that we know and understand. Like, they have a CEO, they've got a CFO, they have chief technology officers that are there to make sure that the equipment that they use is not only functioning, but it's also unavailable for the eyes of, you know, law enforcement, for instance. So there's an entire structure of an organization that's actually built to develop these campaigns in order to be able to take advantage of organizations that are not really prepared as they should be. And so their structure and their organization is really a testament to the fact that they're very they're very well organized. They're very well financed. They're very well determined in terms of being able to take down these organizations, which is in contrast to a lot of most organizations that don't have this level of structure when it comes to defending themselves. What they really need to create is the equivalent of a business plan to be able to figure out, you know, where are our gaps. You know, they need to have an assessment done, for instance, based on an industry framework that basically will outline to them, you know, here's what the industry is suggesting that you should be doing. And, if, you know, as post-assessment, here's all the gaps that you have in your organization that you need to really fill in to help yourself to be more secure. This is proven time and time again to allow organizations to be really, really secure. All of the major organizations in the world are using these things because it's a way for them it's basically a guidebook on how to be secure. You then build a roadmap to explain, you know, here's all the things that we need to do. Here's how much it's going to cost. You know, this is how long it's going to take. And here's all the resources it's going to take to be able to do these things. These are all questions that the board members and executive teams actually have of the IT side of the organization is, you know, how are we going to become secure? What is the strategy around getting us to be more secure? And the way you do this is to use these industry frameworks in order to be able to do that. At LCM, we standardize on the Center for Internet Security in order to be able to create that baseline and then build out these project plans that allow organizations to understand how to get to a more mature level of security in order to be secure. And these things are measurable. That's the one thing about security is they ultimately have to be able to measure everything. You need to be able to measure where you're at, where you need to get to, and what is the pathway to getting there. And these are the sorts of things that board members and executive teams really want to understand is, you know, what is that strategy? What does it look like? Like, what is the implementation plan for these things? And this is typically missing out of an organization's sort of overall plan. You'll see five-year plans for IT technology, but you don't really see five-year plans for security strategies, which is something that we build for our organizations that we work with.
And with all this information you've shared with us today, we're certainly grateful for people like yourself that certainly can help in these regards against cyber criminals and to make us more secure in our cybersecurity efforts. Where can listeners get more information on LCM Security and also be in touch accordingly?
So our site is lcmsecurity.com. One of the things that we've started doing on there is actually posting blogs about these very topics on there. There aren't a lot right now, but they're very impactful, and they're great for organizations that want to get started on how to take this journey to become more secure. And so those will be able to help you, plus all of the other information that we have on there on the services that we have. But ultimately, what we do is we build business plans for organizations to learn how to be more secure.
Mr. Muir, again, thanks so much for your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly appreciate what you do in the space.
Thank you, too. Thank you for having me. Good day.
And you're more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Ken Muir, a Global Advisory Board member at LCM Security. Mr. Muir has over 25 years in IT, over 20 years of experience exclusively in information security consulting, professional services, and managed security services. And for all the details, visit lcmsecurity.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.